Well, when I was praying for the service today and the message today, you know, I was reminded that everybody in this place, everybody watched online, if you're watching online, that we all have burdens, we all have challenges, we all have problems, and there's no one person that can meet your need, solve your problem. I didn't have a suitcase when I came up here that's full of the answers. I just have a book that represents a God that has every answer to every problem. Doesn't mean he's going to make them all go away. But he said he's faithful to walk with us through every storm of life. Amen. Amen. And I want to share this morning out of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25. I want to start there. In Genesis 25, I'm going to read verse 29 through 33, and I'm going to actually share out of the English Standard Version this morning. Hope you don't mind. Don't get too upset with me. If I start quoting scripture, it'll normally be King James. That's kind of just instilled in me. I memorized that as a young person. If you'd like to stand with me as I read God's Word. In Genesis chapter 25, starting with verse 29 through 33, this is what the Word of God has to say. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." And therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." And Esau said, "I am about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 27, just a couple chapters there, and we're going to start in verse 30, read through verse 38. Genesis chapter 27, starting with verse 30. If I can find it, I'll start reading. There we go. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Verse 31, he also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father, and he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came? And I have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Verse 37, Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you are the author and finisher of our faith. Father, I'm so grateful that you interrupted our journey of life and introduced us to life everlasting. Lord, that you healed and delivered and helped us to turn from the detour which we were pursuing and running down away from you. Father, I'm thankful for the grace that abounds in you. I'm thankful for the peace that passes all understanding. I'm thankful for the healing that resides in your touch, Lord. I'm thankful for the greatness that you represent, Father. Every answer to every problem, every care, the peace that passes all understanding. You're the great physician. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Father, for your word. And God, I just pray that, Lord, that anointing that we've sent here this morning, that, Lord, you would come in even greater measure, Lord. That anointing represented by the blood that was shed upon the cross of Calvary, Father. Lord, that by your stripes that healing has been provided for. Lord, I just pray that anointing come from the very rooftop to the foundation once again of this your house of prayer, Father. For you are welcome here, Father. Jesus, you are welcome in this, your house of prayer. Holy Spirit, you are welcome to have your way this day. God, we pray you destroy every attack of the enemy, every snare of the fowler, every curse, every hex and hoax, witchcraft, all those things, Lord, that are not pleasing to you, that have been prayed against you and your people. Lord, we call them null and void this morning. Lord, we pray, Lord, that anointing would break every single one. That, Lord, you would, Lord, place a wall of fire around about your house of prayer this day. God, that your word would go forth, Father, and not return void. Lord, that is your word. Lord, we claim that this day, Lord, for each and every person, Lord, that is listening. God, Father, we just pray that that anointing, Lord, would encourage them, would give them strength and energy and courage to face whatever it is that is coming their way. And Lord, we'll be sure, Father, Lord, to give you all the glory and praise. Lord, we just pray, God, that you prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear the message you've given me. Burden my heart with God. Lord, I just pray it's your word and not man's. And we'll be sure once again to give you all glory. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Y'all may be seated. Well, how many times growing up, some of us, it's been a little bit farther in the rearview mirror than others. I understand that. But how many of us at times growing up, there were things that weren't fair that we had to endure, that we had to face with? And sometimes in anger, when we're treated unfairly, we begin to lash out in anger without thinking. We'll make a decision without thinking. It's just a reaction, a knee-jerk reaction, as some people have said. And, you know, there's the old expression that haste makes waste. And as we'll find out, that's really kind of a biblical expression. But we see in the story that Esau has been tricked by his younger brother, Jacob. And Esau apparently had paid a dear price for his hasty decision and a moment of selfish gratification. And we see that a lot today. We want instant gratification. We don't want to delay that. We've earned it. We deserve the right. Right? Well, all the slogans we see on TV, have it your way. You deserve a break today. Come on. All those things. It's all about me. But sometimes when we make those hasty decisions, we make them to our detriment. And so I want to talk to us a little bit this morning about the price of hasty decisions. The price of hasty decisions. There's a couple of things I want to drive home today, and one of those is that hasty decisions are often costly. See, they'll cost us in lost opportunities. And in Esau's case, his hasty decision, it lost more than just a birthright. And that was pretty valuable, but he lost his privileges, and there were a lot of them. There were a lot of privileges. He lost the headship over his brothers. He was supposed to succeed his father's official authority when his father passed. He had claimed to give his father's benediction at the burial site, which was a very prestigious honor. The household priesthood likely would fall to him if anything happened to his father, and he was supposed to receive the first blessing. But he threw it all away. And all Esau, he's only one example in Scripture of people that made hasty decisions. I mean, we could go look at Moses, you know. He's leading the people out, and they're griping and complaining, and he really gets kind of fed up. He gets frustrated, and he strikes a rock at Meribah when God didn't tell him to strike the rock. He just said, speak to the rock. But no, Moses had to kind of put his, the flesh kind of rose up, and he had to show the people what you know, that their rebellion was angering God. It was angering him. It was disappointing God when we rebel against God. That's very disappointing for our Heavenly Father. But Moses didn't ask. He wanted to have it his way. Hasty decision. We could go to King Saul. I mean, the king. Come on, the king. They're fighting the Philistines. They go out, and King Saul, he has this... He has this sacrifice that he's not even appointed or approved or supposed, you know, by law. He's not even supposed to give the sacrifice. He's supposed to wait for Samuel, and he's like, I can't wait. We just need to go ahead and make the sacrifice to his detriment. The kingdom was stripped from him, no longer king. Hasty decision. Peter's denial, run to the New Testament. Peter's denial of Christ three times, not just once, twice, three times. I don't know him.
I told you I don't know him. Even uses a few choice words to let people know he doesn't know him. What are you trying to say, Marshall? Well, I'm trying to drive home the truth of that you and I, we're all guilty of hasty decisions at one time or another in our lives. We all have a tendency when things get stressful, when things get tough, when things get bad, we have a tendency just to make a decision. And maybe it's not God's decision. In writer of Proverbs, Solomon says, Proverbs 19:2, desire without knowledge is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. I love what the Message translation says. It says, ignorant zeal is worthless. Haste makes waste. I love that. Ignorant zeal. Man, they're busy just being busy. But they're not getting anything done. You know, it's kind of like that little hamster you see in the little running wheel. Boy, they're really going. Man, that wheel is turning. That's pretty impressive. What's he getting accomplished? Nothing. sometimes I feel like if I go to the gym, you know, back when I used to do that more than obviously I don't do it quite as much now, you know, I forgot how to get there. But, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you're on the treadmill. You know, what are you doing? You know, where are you going? You're not supposed to go anywhere. You're just supposed to run on the treadmill, walk on the treadmill, and imagine that you're going to all these wonderful places. And then when your time's up, the beeper goes off and you get off and, you know, all you did was, you know, generate a lot of perspiration, you know, a lot of sweat, right? James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 19, he goes, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I don't know about you, that's hard for me. The Message translation says this, post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. I don't know about you. Sometimes the anger gets the best of me, unfortunately. You know, I say that to my shame. There's times when I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I let anger make a decision for me. I don't always wait. I don't always let anger straggle along behind. I could blame a lot of things. You know, we're all good at that. Blaming other people, other things, other situations, you know, get deflected off of me. But the reality is we made a decision. We made a decision. And sometimes I wrestle with what David Russell, he said, the hardest thing to learn in life is which bridge to cross and which to burn. And sometimes I don't do that well. I don't do that well. See, hasty decisions will often cost you more than you're willing to pay. That's just the trick. They cost you lost opportunities. But not only that, they cost you lost relationships when you make those hasty decisions. Esau, he lost the relationship he had with his father. Man, back in Genesis 25, verse 28, it said, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Esau was Isaac's favorite. He was his favorite son. Man, he's the leader. Man, don't you know Jacob had to live under that shadow all of his life? I don't know about you, there were eight kids in the Windsor household. You know, and there were times when, man, I thought my brothers and sisters got, you know, a little more than I got, you know. I thought life wasn't always fair. You know, things didn't get meted out equally. You know, especially I felt like punishment, that I got more than my due. But, you know, that's the way kids think. You know, I earned every whooping I get. And, yes, we got whoopings in the Windsor household. You know, the seven most dreaded words that my mom would ever tell me was, you wait until your dad gets home. Wow. Because I knew there was going to be a whooping take place. And, you know, my dad, he would tell me, he said, you know, this is going to hurt me worse than you. And I was always thinking, you're a liar. I can't believe you would lie. And then I became a parent. And I'm like, man, he wasn't lying. You know, it's hard. It's hard. But those decisions in my mind, there were times I felt like my parents, they played favorites. Man, it's not fair. It's not fair. Man. Then in Genesis chapter 26, 34 and 35, we see Esau, he went and married two Hittite ladies. He said, well, If I can't have the blessing of the first child, the oldest child, then I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. And it says they were a grief of mind to his parents. And the reality is he had gone to disobey God. He said, I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. Esau took his privileges for granted, and he became almost arrogant. Matter of fact, what did he say in verse 31? Arise and eat, that thy soul may bless me. It's my turn. Dad, go ahead. Here, I got some food for you. I prepared this stew for you. Won't you just rise and eat so that you can bless me? Praise God. But he was in for a rude awakening. You know, it's interesting. God refers to that as that word. We don't like to hear it very often. It's that word pride. Did you know that God hates pride? God doesn't like pride. But the scriptures tell us that the creature was made subject to vanity. Pride is a part of the fallen nature of mankind. We all kind of deal with it on one occasion or another. But the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, sometimes we're so intent, we're really good at beating ourselves up when we make a mistake and fall flat on our face. And sometimes we're awful good at patting ourselves on the back. You know, if my arm was just a little bit longer, well, I'd really be successful patting myself on the back more often than I do. But I love what the writer of God Post said. One entry, he said, God wisely designed the human body so that we can neither pat our own backs nor kick ourselves too easily. Right? You know, sometimes we have a tendency to really beat ourselves up when things get bad. And sometimes we have a tendency to really praise ourselves when things are going right. But God's not happy with that. God doesn't love. He hates pride, is what we're told. And in verse 34 and 38, we see Esau's reward. It says, as soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Verse 38, Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. It shows us his reward. He lifted up his voice and wept. But can I ask you a question this morning? Haven't we all, at one point or another in our lives, taken our privileges for granted? We've taken our relationships, our jobs, our health for granted at times. I know that I've done that even in a marriage relationship. There are times when I don't even think about all the things that Nancy does for me. I take it for granted. And I don't show her the love and appreciation that I should. There are times when that happens. And, you know, I do my best, right? I fall, I fail, but I do my best. Come back around, right? But there are times when we all take it for granted, the things that we have. And what did happen to Esau? He lost a family. His brother Jacob left home. He never saw his mother again. As far as the scriptures tell us, we don't know. But Esau, he tried to amend his ways to please his parents and make things right. He married another wife who was, you know, a wife from Ishmael of Sarah's servant Hagar. He's trying to make it right, but it's too late. It's too late. The damage has been done. That's the wonderful thing about Christ. You know, the enemy wants you to know it's too late. No, you may not be able to make everything right after a decision has been made. But it's never too late with Christ to be a part of the equation of your life, to help you get through to the other side, praise God. But Esau's hasty decision had cost him dearly, and ours will too if we're not careful. Hasty decisions, they're often costly. But not only that, hasty decisions can have eternal consequences. I want you to hear me this morning, because those are decisions that are often made without God. They're often made without God because we got mad, we got busy, we weren't in a relationship that we needed to be in with God, we kind of got estranged. We all do it, from the pulpit to the parking lot to those downtown never step foot in church. There's times when we get so busy, We get so far away from God, and then you don't understand why you can't hear what God's saying when he whispers and says, this is the way. Walk ye in it.
You know, the goal of being a believer and follower of Christ is not to see how far away from him we can wander and maintain our salvation. The goal is to see how close we can get to him. But there's that moment of pleasure sometimes that entices us, right? The enemy tempts us in the midst of a trial. John 10:10, even tell Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy, right? Peter told us in 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, he's your enemy, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I mean, the devil knows your weakness. He knows what's going on in your world. He knows what you're thinking. He knows where your itch is. You know, we had a dog named Healer. And, Healer, we got a dog like most people did back in that day. He just showed up. We fed him. He was ours. He never left, you know. So, you know, we lived in the country. And we were not trying, didn't have a collar or anything on, but, you know, he was part everything. You know, he wasn't a purebred. He was a purebred dog. That's what I know. He was all dog. And, the thing about Healer, he loved to have his stomach scratched, you know. I mean, he was a good dog. You know, he was a faithful dog. He was a fun dog. But, man, he loved to have his stomach scratched. And when, you'd start to scratch his stomach, man, as soon as you come over to him, he just on his back because he knew. You know, I mean, this is, you know, don't pet my back. No, it's all about the stomach, you know. And he's on his back. And, you know, you're getting down there and you're scratching his stomach. And all of a sudden you'd hit a spot and his back leg would just start going like this, man. You just knew you hit the spot, man. You knew with old Healer. Man, that's the itch right there. I needed some scratching on right there. You know, and y'all are smiling because your spouse sometimes does that for you. You know, oh, yeah, right there. That's the one. You know, the devil knows where your itch is. He knows right where it is. And he loves to get you into a place, get you distracted, and to scratch that itch. It's hard. It's hard. We need Christ. You know, there's a song that says sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. You know, if sin hurt, there'd be a lot less of it, right? I mean, you know, but it feels good. Sin feels good for a season. For a season. Here's the truth. I want to drive home. Sometimes we're just looking for an easy way out. Y'all can say ouch or amen. Doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm preaching to Marshall this morning. Y'all are just, you know, got to be invited in to my own preaching session to myself. Praise God. You know, I'm just telling you, sometimes you just want the easy way out. We want the easy way out of difficult situations. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't want to deal with those people anymore. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes we're sick and tired of good relationships going bad. I don't want any of the responsibility because we live in a world where there's instant answers. And we all want to be successful. Everybody on social media posting all the good things happening in their life. You know, you don't see a whole lot of people on, you know, True Confessions social media, you know, identity. Not, you know, it's all the good stuff. I know I don't post anything bad. I'm going to post good stuff. Praise God. Praise God. Right? I mean, that's what we do. We don't want people in our business, but sometimes we just get tired. We want the easy way out. What happened in our passage of Scripture? Verse 33, it says, then Isaac trembled very violently, and he said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. He shall be blessed. Jacob looked for an easy way out. Yeah, he had the help of his mom. They were in it together. He wanted the easy way out. But he sure got more than he bargained for. Jacob got more than he bargained for. Esau got more than he bargained for. You know, I was talking to my class. I was teaching evangelism over at Calvary, and we were talking about missions. You know, a lot of mission stuff. We've done missions work around the globe, various places, you know, you don't really appreciate what you have back home until you go overseas. And you go to mission somewhere that's a developing country. That's the
politically correct way to say that, you know, where you may or may not have electricity, you may or may not have running water, you may or may not have a bathroom that works, you know, you may just have the first tree to the left after you get out of the hut, you know, I mean, you know, there's some things that are, when you're on a mission field, a mission trip, you begin to appreciate the freedoms, if you will, the things you have back home. I was reminded of one anonymous writer. He said, freedom has a taste to those who fight for it and almost die that the protected will never know. And you know, that means a lot to me as a patriotic person, prior service, that I get that. But so often we don't get that. And if we're honest, sometimes we just take God, His promises, the freedoms that we have, just take them all for granted. Just take them for granted. And you know, our relationship with God, it kind of gets pushed to the back burner, if you will. We don't really have time for God, don't really have time for prayer, don't really have time for Bible study, don't really have time for the family of God and coming together, but we sure want His blessing. Yeah, God, if you could just help me get this over here. God, if you could just help me with this job. God, if you could just help me with this and help me with this. We want God's blessing, but we don't want to make time for Him. You know, if you are in any kind of relationship at all, you know, that doesn't work. Because love is spelled T-I-M-E. You got to spend time with that person that you love. And God longs for you and I to spend time with Him. And too often, those hasty decisions, they're made today in our fast-paced world without God. And the reward we have are those tears, just like Esau. The things that we gave away, that we compromised, just to have it gone, just to have that decision made. See, decisions often make, those hasty decisions, oftentimes they're made without God. But here's the truth I want to bring home this morning, is that God longs to lead you and I in our decisions, praise God. In all our decisions, He longs to lead us. He longs to take us by the hand. And godly decisions should be wise and prayerful that lead to what? Peace in our heart. Even in tough times, when you know that God is leading you, doesn't matter what you're facing, man, you're going to have a peace that passes all understanding. Honey, I'm telling you, you need to get a hold of God and let Him grab you by the hand and take you down the road, praise God. He's going to make straight the way where there seemeth to be no way. He's going to make a way, hallelujah. That's the God I serve. I'm telling you what, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. We need to hold on to Him, praise God. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously or freely, the King James says, to all without reproach, and it will be given him. It said that wisdom knows the end from the beginning, praise God. And those godly decisions, though, they need to be made with God in mind. Sometimes it takes a lot of prayer. Sometimes it takes a lot of fasting. Sometimes it takes counsel or advice from other people. Praise God. Man, I love when my mom, she used to tell us, she goes, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. My mom was a wise lady. But that reminded me of Psalms 19:14. Old King James says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, God knows the big picture. He knows the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. We need to hold on to Him. He knows how things are going to turn out. We can run to God. We can run to God. But you know what our nature is? To kind of pray a little bit selfishly. If we're honest, when I'm in pain, I want God to take away my pain. When I'm frustrated, I want God to take away my frustration. When I feel I got treated unfairly, man, I want God to help me. You know, sometimes, you know, dealing with people around the world, people are people. My sister's got an expression, man, those people lie like an East Texas rug. I'm telling you. You know, I mean, there's just some people. You're just like, man, God, is that the best you got? Even in the church. Hello? Even in the church, there's people that hurt other people. That's why you and I, we need to keep our focus on God. Keep our eyes on Christ. Hallelujah. let all that trash fall off. Hey, man, God's he's the just, the most just, the fairest judge there ever has been, ever will be. Praise God. He's going to take care of that. He sees what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. You and I, right there, man, right there. It's like a one-way street. Hallelujah. Man, I lived in a one-dog town, man. I mean, when growing up, we didn't have very many people there, you know, flashing red light. I mean, that's it right there. And all we had one-lane roads, one way. I had to take my driver's test 3 times because I said, that's one way. It's my way. That's I get the whole road. And he said, no, you got to have one side or the other, you know. Third time's a charm. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I was in that smaller community that everybody knew your business. You know, whatever they didn't know, they just made up. Y'all probably don't deal with that here. Praise God. Y'all in the metropolitan area here. Praise God. I'm just telling you. Sometimes we just got to stay focused on God. You know, sometimes we got to pray through the pain. Sometimes we got to fast through the disappointment. Sometimes we need godly friends, godly counsel that come alongside, pray with us and for us. Hallelujah. Because we need a little encouragement. But sometimes we do, we pray selfishly. James 4:3 tells us you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Praise God. But you know, Jesus, he was the example. Wasn't he? Didn't he say, Father, not my will, but thine be done? Jesus, that's our model of decision making. And godly decisions, they ought to be well grounded in the Word. Well, why is that? Because you and I need to know we can trust God. We can trust Him. We can hold on to the Word of God. Paul even tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, man, you ever run into any of those people around here? Man, y'all ain't from around here then, are you? Because there's a lot of them around here. there's some of those people, they're out there to cunningly get and take advantage of you, God's people, and even those folks outside the church. We need wisdom. And the only way you're going to get wisdom, when you know the Word of God. You know the promises of God that you can stand on, that you can hold to. That's why you and I, we need to seek God. We need His leading. And the reality is we all go through good times and bad. We all do. There was years ago, I was sitting, as I'm going to wrap this up. There was years ago, I was sitting in the library. I was doing some studying. And it was really kind of a blustery day. I mean, it was windy, storming. And I looked outside the flagpole, and the flag, man, is just whipping. It is whipping left and right, man. And it's kind of like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I was just sitting there thinking, you know, the Christian life's kind of like that, isn't it? You know, sometimes we just get whipped back and forth and back and forth in every different direction. But the interesting thing about that flag is that it's attached to the flagpole. And no matter how much that flag whips back and forth, even if there's some tatters and tears, it's not letting go because it's not holding on to the flagpole. The flagpole's holding on to the flag. And this morning, God wants you and I to know that He's holding on to His children. If you'll let go and let Him have lordship and leadership of your life, praise God. That's why I love Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Praise God. Can I ask you this morning, are you in a place where a hasty decision's been made or a decision needs to be made, but you're just putting it off? You're just not really sure. Not sure which direction. What do I want to do? God wants to encourage you this morning, praise God. To seek Him in our times of regret. Maybe we've made hasty decisions. Our time of disappointments. Our time of decision. Our time of trial. He's made a way where there seemeth to be no way. Matter of fact, He told us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world, that's everybody, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean, Marshall? That means when you and I are adopted into the family, when we've asked Jesus Christ to have lordship and leadership of our life, it's not just us fighting to have a relationship with God. God is fighting on your behalf to protect His children, praise God. He's coming after you, hallelujah. He's already here, praise God. He longs to wrap His arms around you and help you with every single decision in your life. Even Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. Praise God. God doesn't want you to pay the price that Esau and Jacob paid. He longs for you and I to commit our lives afresh and anew this morning to him and reap the rewards that come from being a child of the King. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much this morning, Lord. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, your sweet Holy Spirit would come this morning and, Lord, would encourage us. Lord, maybe we've made hasty decisions. Lord, it's never too late with you. Maybe online, people watching, they've made hasty decisions or they have big decisions to come. But the greatest decision anyone could ever make is asking you, Lord, to have lordship and leadership of their life, Lord, and ask you to forgive them of their sins, of rejecting you and walking away from you all the years of their life that they have, Father. They haven't known you, Lord. Lord, you would cleanse them and help them and allow Jesus Christ to have that lordship and leadership, Lord. Lord, I pray that today for them. Lord, and I pray for those in the house this morning, Lord, that you would encourage them, that you would help them, that you would reach down. Lord, that you would turn things that need to be turned, that you would change the winds in those situations where things need to be changed, that, Lord, you would just reach down and touch your children once again. Lord, help them, encourage them.